Hi everyone, and welcome to our musical game. Everything is connected, and we're going to prove that by going from Radiohead's Creep,
nice,
all the way to Dream Theater's
Oh My Home. God.
In other words, my favorite artist to us is his favorite artist. Are you ready?
I am ready. But first, let's explain how this happens.
The aim of the game is to find the connections between a series of five songs. It could be something musical, like one song sampling the other, or sharing a rare instrument. But they could also be connected through a piece of trivia about the artist, album, or producer, like appearing on the same movie's soundtrack, for instance. For every connection, we have two hints that we'll reveal. You can lock in an answer before any hints are given, but you can also change your answer after each hint. Each connection is classed as easy, medium, or hard. The easy connections are worth up to 3 points if you get the answer right without the hints. If you change your answer after the first hint, you play for 2 points, and after the second hint, for 1 point. The medium or hard ones act as 2x or 3x multipliers. Play along with us and write a comment with your score. Now back to the game.
You know what? I'm familiar with lots of Dream Theater songs, and Home is one of those songs. So
is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can like,
no word of a lie then.
Sing the La Brie part.
Really?
Yeah.
Go on.
It sounds like... That's not the La Brie part. Isn't that the one? Or is this Muse?
Yeah, I mean, you got the rhythm wrong, but...
Oh, what's the rhythm? Wait, 59 quintuplets.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Cool.
So, we're starting off with Radiohead's Creep.
Yeah.
Which, let's have a quick listen to it. I wish I was
special. Yeah.
So, Creep.
Yeah, I know Creep.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think you're pretty familiar with it.
Unfortunately, yeah. I love Radiohead.
Yeah.
But do you know Creep? Yeah. Everyone has that relationship with Creep.
Yeah, yeah. Themselves as well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, let me give you a couple of facts about Creep.
Hmm.
So, did you know that, for example, this was written by Thom Yorke while he was at Exeter Uni, before they were even called Radiohead? So, it's a very, very old track. It's
one of his, a Friday.
Yeah,
exactly.
So one of his...
Is it autobiographical? Areas. That's very sad.
Yeah, I mean, it's likely that like, it's autobiographical.
Yeah, he's grown now and he's definitely not a creep.
Yeah, yeah. I think he has a lot more confidence meeting girls. I probably shouldn't say girls at that point, but yeah. So obviously it's from their debut album, 93, but it was released as the first single in 92.
Ah, okay, so it predates Pablo Honey.
I think it was, you know, like the introductory single or whatever you might call it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't actually do that well at the beginning. Only reached number 78 in the UK.
But I think
charts.
It's the US that where it blew up, isn't
it? Actually, it picked up steam first on Israeli radio.
Ooh, random.
Yeah, when an Israeli DJ picked it up. And then later it came to America, kind of became this whole broad hit. Still probably the most well-known of their songs.
I think so.
I think it might even be number one on Spotify if you look at the top things. So that distorted guitar stab that we heard was actually an attempt by guitarist Johnny Greenwood to just ruin the song
because
he didn't like it. So they kept that in. And they hated the song for many years and they even wrote another song.
Oh, Iron Lung.
Called My Iron Lung.
Yeah, true.
Which is a metaphor for... How
wow.
it keeps them alive. And So the track that we're going to be connecting this to is called The Air That I Breathe by The Hollies. So let's have a listen.
Oh, yes. No sound. Nice. Yeah. That's very nice. I had... a conversation recently with a friend of mine about The Air That I Breathe.
Really?
Yeah.
So you know the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, I think you need to fill me in a bit on the history and the trivia because I think I know the connection.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure how to phrase it because I don't know like the details of what's real and what's like urban legend.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean...
Is that an easy one?
Well, now that you've said that, it's probably an easy one. Yeah. Like, it's an easy one if you know it, maybe not otherwise. So it could verge on a medium, but for the purpose of this game, let's say it's an easy one.
So that's why I don't know exactly how to phrase it, because I think that it's either, like, influenced by the song, either consciously, so it's like plagiarism, or subconsciously. And I have this feeling that there is a story that maybe this went to court, maybe there's a resolution, like a legal resolution to this, or maybe it's one of those situations like, I don't know, like Satriani and Coldplay, that it just sounds very similar, but...
Yeah, but nothing official.
Nothing official, maybe it's just coincidence, or maybe it's... But yeah, I don't know, but like in the sample that you played, that kind of sounds like the Uber chorus of the end of Creep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like this kind of major minor chord progression in Creep is similar to the air that I breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that probably the answer is something like one copies the other, or one is an interpolation of the other, or something like that.
Okay.
But let me get the hint now. Let me get the first hint.
Let's get the first hint in, so maybe you can get a bit closer to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to help you in this situation, given where you are, but the hint is that The Air That I Breathe is a love ballad, and it's a, you know, straight up very passionate love ballad, whereas Creep is more about unrequited love. But they're both kind of love ballads.
That doesn't help me. That's a shit hint. Is that a hint? Or is that?
I think so.
I mean, I told you, I'm going to stick with that. I'm just going to say that maybe it's more along the lines that maybe Thom Yorke has actually admitted that he was influenced. Maybe he was listening to it as a kid, a teenager or something. How old is The Air That I Breathe?
The Air That I Breathe is from 1972.
Ah, okay. So yeah, it's like so he 20 would have been, years was before he was that. Born. Yeah, but maybe, I don't know, through parents. It's not that old. It's not like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's something there. In some way, Creep copies The Air That I Breathe. I just don't know how official that way is.
Yeah. So before we...
Before we reveal
that, yeah, let me give you a couple of interesting facts about The Air That I Breathe.
Yeah.
So the first thing is that it was covered by Simply Red.
Oh, no.
In 1998.
Oh, no, no. When?
1998.
Oh.
So I need to dig out that version. And the other very interesting fact is the Hollies were formed in 1962. And they're one of the few UK bands to have never disbanded since then.
Wow.
Like alongside the Rolling Stones and those kind of, you know, caliber of...
And they're still alive.
And I think so. I mean, they might have had some...
Interesting.
Changes.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, like from 1962. So that's what, 70 years? 60 years. Crazy.
Wow.
So, my next hint for you then, since you've already kind of given your answer, the chords are G, B, C, and C minor.
So, yeah, the chord progression is the same.
Yeah.
But I did not realize that. The melody is also, that melody seems also very, very similar. Yeah, so it's not the just kind of, the chord. Yeah, because if the chords are just the same, you can say that, you know, there's so many chords, maybe it's more, but this feels like it's not coincidental. And even if it's subconscious, definitely that song was somewhere in the... So yeah, what did the chords say? Yeah. Did this actually go to court?
Yes, so that was the answer. And yeah, it went to court.
What is the answer, the official answer?
The official answer is that...
Plagiarism.
Well, yes, like Creep ripped off this track.
Uh-huh.
And so as a result, I think Radiohead admitted it.
Okay.
So they said, yeah, like we kind of really liked the song and took that.
Ah, okay.
And as a result, you know, instead of kind of, I think... getting messy.
Songwriting credits?
The songwriting credits were added to Creep of the songwriters of that song.
So if you go now to like Pablo Honey Wikipedia, Creep has 8 songwriters or whatever, 10, however many they...
Not that many, but yes.
Wow.
It's not just Thom Yorke.
Wow. Yeah.
So, well done.
So is it happy? Was it a happy ending for all of them then?
Essentially. Yeah. I think they respected the fact that Thom Yorke was honest. And so they said, okay, we'll just, you know.
Cool.
Yeah. Get the songwriting credits. Cool. So yeah, well done. That's four points. 4 points.
Yeah. Easy, easy.
Yeah, it was.
that's how we start. Gonna come off.
Okay. So
what's next?
What's next? Maybe something you might not predict.
Oh yes.
And that is the Strokes with the Reptilia.
Ooh.
So let's hear it.
Cool.
So, same vocal melody. No, this one is the second album. Room on Fire from 2003.
Okay.
So, a very interesting fact, and it connects to the first song in a way. They actually initially hired Nigel Godrich.
Okay, so that's not the answer.
No, but this is obviously connected to Radiohead. Not.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to connect it to Hollies.
Yeah, to the Hollies. Yeah, you're right. Not Radiohead. Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, they fired him after because apparently, according to Nigel, him and Julian were just both control freaks.
Nice.
And they wanted to control, you know, the direction of the music. And Julian was eventually like,
cool.
Nah, fuck that.
Cool.
So they went back to their old producer. It was written by Julian Casablancas.
And that's a cool name.
Yeah. It's a pretty iconic and, you know, one of the most influential songs of that period, kind of the garage rock revival.
Yeah. And what did you say the year of that is?
2003. Whereas the other one is 72.
Yeah.
What do you know about the Strokes? Let me ask you that.
To be honest, not much.
No?
No.
Okay. So, you know about Julian Casablancas, for example.
I mean, I know of him.
Okay. So you just don't really...
I don't really follow the Strokes.
Okay.
So, yeah. So is it like a more personal thing then?
Well, I mean, if you want, you can lock in something. And
so first of all, is it easy, hints. Medium, or hard?
That's a good point. I didn't mention that.
Yeah.
Again, it's one of these things where like, it's easy, but it's medium.
Mm.
So okay. I'm going to say medium in this case.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, could it be a situation where it's like a UK band that was big in the US and vice versa?
Hmm.
Okay. And that's pretty random, but
yeah.
As a connection. But no, I want a hint. Yeah.
Okay. So the song The Air That I Breathe was written by Albert Hammond and Mike Hazelwood. They're both British singer-songwriters. So you have a theory about UK and US, but
no, it's
does
not.
That help?
No.
No?
No, unless both songs were covers, which I doubt.
Mm. That's not the answer, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, these gentlemen that you mentioned, are they in the Hollies or are they not in the Hollies?
They are not in the Hollies.
Ooh. So could it be that both songs were not written by the bands that performed them without necessarily being covers of something else, but for some reason? That sounds very odd that, you know, someone else would have written
the Holy Song
and the Strokes.
And the Strokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not a cover. It's like Ghost Rider or something.
I did already mention something about Reptilia, though.
What was it? I wasn't paying attention. I was thinking about Dream Theater.
You were thinking about his fucking name, actually. Yeah. That's what was happening.
Okay.
But I did say it was written by singer Julian Casablancas for Reptilia. So that immediately your theory is in the water. So yeah, there. I mean, I don't know. Think about everything. There, two songs, 31 years apart. One of them is not written by
the Hollies.
The Hollies.
Mm. But the other Strokes, one is written by the Strokes.
Rock band, New York, 2000s.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm, that's I don't know.
Simply
what
Red.
Call. Simply Red. Yeah. That I forgot completely about that guy. Can I get a second hint?
You can.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a pretty... I think this should make it pretty obvious.
Yes. That's so obvious.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So Albert Hammond,
yeah,
one of the two guys I mentioned as the songwriters, he is or was married, I couldn't really find the information to be honest, to an Argentinian former model, Claudia Fernandez... And they have two children.
Wow, and one of them is Julian Casablancas. Julian Casablancas.
Julian. Julian. No, but that's definitely the right track.
So the person that wrote The Air That I Breathe.
Yep. One of the guys who wrote them.
Is he had married. Two children.
Yeah.
To an Argentinian model.
Yeah, don't worry too much about that part. That was
Consuela
like trivia.
Del Rio.
Cruella de Vil.
And she has two children with him.
Yep.
Who were nameless for the time being.
Yep. The songs are 31 years apart.
Yes.
Yep.
That's good. The age of Casablanca should be around there. Yeah.
Why does it have to be fucking Julian?
And so, Mr. Hammond.
Mr. Hammond.
Inventor of the Hammond.
Yes, he also did that on the side.
Is the father of someone from the shows. In this case, Casablancas. Or not.
Are you sure you want to add that?
I don't know the names of the others.
They have a different name. Okay.
Maybe that's his artistic name. Maybe he's called... his name is very complicated. And he liked the Humphrey Bogart. And he went Casablanca.
Okay, frame it for me.
Yeah.
Give me your final official answer.
The writer for The Air That I Breathe is also the father of... One of the Strokes.
Yes.
Yes.
One bonus point if you can tell me who that is.
Casablanca.
It's not Casablanca.
Yeah, I don't know who the other are. Who the others are.
I think like, very simple.
John Hammond. The who is in
even
the,
simpler.
All of them. They're all brothers.
No. His name. Think the most simple thing you can think of.
Hammond.
Yes, but yes. His full name?
What was his full name? John Hammond.
Albert Hammond.
Albert
is
Hammond,
guy.
Yeah.
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 So what's the name of his child?
Albert Hammond Jr.
Yes.
Yes. And who is?
So he is one of the guitarists of the Strokes.
Good. It would be good, better if they were all brothers.
If they were all brothers.
All brothers, yeah.
Quintuplets, all from Hammond.
Or however many they are.
That would be cool. Well, nice. Like the Jackson 5.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the Hansons. Hansons? Yeah. Hansons?
Hansons.
Hansen.
The handsome Hansons.
That was a good one. That was impossible, man. That was difficult.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was quite common knowledge, I would say.
What?
Albert Hammond Jr. and Albert Hammond. I mean, they're both
I don't
very
know
famous.
Who Albert Hammond is. I'm sorry.
Okay, they're pretty famous.
What okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
No, I mean, that's fine. I'm that's English. Why I gave you a medium. Yeah, so, okay. You know, you can have the extra points.
So what, I got
So you got after two hints, right?
Yeah. So I got like 2 points.
So you get 2 points. Yep.
Nice.
Okay. So I think this is number 4.
Yeah, from the Strokes too.
From the Strokes. We are going. I did mention them earlier. The Rolling Stones.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
Painted Black.
Oh, da da da. I wanna see you, baby. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Painted song. Black is one of those songs that, like, 10 years later, it's easily. Okay, you make the tempo slower and it's doom.
Doom?
Yeah.
Doom metal?
Nah,
or the game Doom?
Yeah, no, like heavy metal.
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
If you have access to more distortion than they had in the 60s or whenever, when is Painted Black? Late 60s maybe?
Yeah, I think so. 66.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty evil. It's pretty doom, pretty...
I was going to say speed it up and you might have like very kind of
black metal. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Immortal stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's pretty evil.
Okay.
So yeah, we've got...
I have a good idea about this actually.
You have a good idea? So wait, let me first say that I'm going to class this actually... For some people, it might actually be easy, but I'm going to class this as a hard.
Okay, cool.
So you'll get triple the points.
Cool. I mean, I'm not saying that I know. I just have a hunch.
Okay.
Maybe it's completely unrelated.
Tell me your hunch, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a burger place.
Okay.
Yeah, that Keith Richards used to go.
Hmm.
And then...
His mother, no?
His mom worked there. And Casablanca's... Mom also worked at the same...
Casablancas again.
I want to say that maybe... Because, you know, Painted Black is a song just like... what's the other one? She's
like
a rainbow.
Reptilia is, yeah.
that kind of pops up occasionally in things.
Yep.
So I'm thinking that this must be a new thing, that Reptilia and Painted Black were part of a thing. Initially, I want to say maybe they were part of like an ad campaign. Maybe they appeared in, I don't know, in Kia commercials or something like that. Mm. Or maybe it's something like they were both part of like a movie that has kind of whatever cool rock music or something like that. So I think, I mean, that's my hunch initially, was that they are part of like a big ad campaign for the iPod when the iPod was black. And Reptilia was like the white iPod. And I don't know, that was Viva La Vida definitely at some point. It was like a big iPod.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't think I remember that. But yeah, I so, mean, yeah, so I'm you're saying they're go... so far away that it has to be something more.
Yes, and I also think that for some reason Painted Black is a song that you often hear in TV commercials.
That's true.
I think.
Yeah.
Because also it is black. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe it's something that was actually black, like a black iPod or a black Honda. I don't know why I'm obsessed with Asian cars now. So yeah, I'm just going to go commercial. I'm not going to say what commercial. If you can I just say...
Yeah, you can say a commercial.
Yeah. Commercial in like the mid-2000s thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
That was my...
Bridging generations all of that. Okay.
Yeah. That's probably completely bullshit.
So before...
before you let me down,
Before I let you down, I'm gonna give you some more information about kind of some context about this tune.
Yeah.
Because I think you might find it interesting and so might the viewers. So it's from the album Aftermath, which is, there might be some hints in here, so listen up, which is much more experimental and genre defying than their previous albums, which were more rooted in rock and roll and blues. It's also the first album where the tracks are all originals. And all of them written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. That's when they solidified their
before
Jagger Richards thing.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Before that, the main songwriter and leader of the band was guitarist Brian Jones.
Oh, true.
So Brian Jones, later on, he develops alcohol and drug-related problems. And he gets kicked out of the band a few years later. And less than a month later after that...
He walks into a river.
He walks into his own swimming pool.
Oh, better than a river. Oh.
And he is found dead.
Oh.
Because of the timing, I guess, like, it's so soon after they kick him out. There were some theories that, like, he'd been murdered.
By the Stones?
Well, actually, it was specifically by a builder that he was working with. I mean, I think just the fact that it was so sudden was like, you know, the conspiracy flares up. Yeah. Apparently, he was the last person to see Jones alive. So this guy called Frank Thorogood, this builder. Mm. And apparently... he may have, like...
also written Reptilia.
No. He may have owed Jones...
Oh.
Sorry, Jones may have owed this guy some money, and then they had a fight and something like that. He supposedly confessed to the Rolling Stones driver that he'd done it, but then the driver, like, denied that ever happened. And apparently, Jones' kids still believe that their father was murdered.
Wow.
So it's kind of very, very unsolved dark. And very...
So, yeah. Is Painted Black is... about him?
No.
Ah, okay. No, irrelevant. No. Okay.
He was actually on this track. He was on this album. And yeah, that's important. And another interesting fact, the last one before I give you put you out of your misery. When he died, he was 27. So he's one of the members of the 27 Club.
True.
And in fact, he's probably the first musician from a band that people know to enter that club. So... he was the first of like a series of deaths that happened in like 2 or 3 years. You know, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Jim Hendrix.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting. And now, back to your misery.
The Strokes are alive.
The Strokes are alive, thankfully.
And older than 27.
Especially Julian Casablancas. So, my first one.
Yeah, okay. Let's go.
This might sound vague, but it's important.
Yeah.
They are both rock songs.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
It's important. I'll give you another clue in a bit, but It's an important clue.
I have a very stupid idea.
You know, think of what you said earlier and merge it with what I told you.
There is what you told me about Brian Jones.
No, what I just said as the hint.
Yeah.
And what you were kind of talking about.
So I'm thinking that maybe both of the songs were included in a random album or some random event where they were covered in a style that was not rock, hopefully dubstep, by someone else, hopefully Skrillex. So there is like...
Skrillex covered both.
Yeah, it's like someone who is not known to do rock music and is known to do something completely different, covered Painted Black and Reptilia.
Interesting.
In a different style. I just don't see... Yeah, it's not going to be dubstep, obviously. It's going to be something that's, I guess, song-based. So, like, it could be something like Mark Ronson did covers of both of them. Because he's done an album with random covers, but I don't think that's...
I mean, you don't have to formulate it in such a specific way. Like, you can if you want, say...
But yeah, I mean, I think what you're saying is that there's another version of these songs, probably by the same artist or including some kind of thing that is not a rock version of these songs. So this is my revised...
That's your current guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So my second hint.
Yeah.
The Strokes, we kind of touched on it, not really, but the band has 5 members and crucially... They have 2 guitarists.
So, if you take 5 plus 2 minus 1966.
Yeah. 3.14 divided by 3.14.
It's 666. It's the number of the beast.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That's right.
Sympathy for the Devil and...
Yeah, you know, it proves everything is connected. Yeah, and everything is like satanic. Yeah.
There you go, guys.
Illuminati confirmed.
They have 2 guitarists and this is rock song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Strokes.
Here comes some bullshit.
Dressed as pirates, perform Painted Black. In Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, with Keith Richards.
Okay.
No,
so,
like,
so
no,
when I said
no,
guitar, like, you thought of Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, maybe the Strokes performed Painted Black.
Yeah, no, but yeah. Okay, just let me kind of guide you a little bit. Go, the first ideas that you had, like,
well,
they're
like
included
the
on stuff.
The commercial,
well,
just generally,
no,
them existing together in the 2000s.
You said like something modern.
Must have
brought them together.
Yeah,
and now I've told you they're both rock songs.
Yeah,
and they have 2 guitarists.
Yeah,
guitarists.
Yeah, okay. They're the only 2 rock songs that have 2 guitarists.
Fuck the 2 guitarists.
No, I'm not.
Something modern and guitarists.
Yes.
Hmm.
Modern.
What can you think of?
Dream Theater. That's one guitarist.
No. It's not. I'm not talking about bands.
Ah.
You said, you know, some modern way of bringing them together.
Ah.
And I'm saying guitarists.
Guitarists. So there's like 2 modern guitarists got together and played these songs.
A modern way of bringing them together. Think of a modern way. Like you said, maybe it's a commercial. Maybe the iPod is bridging generations. Think of a modern way. And something to do with guitarists.
They are the most difficult songs to play in Guitar Hero. Rock band.
Give me a final answer.
They... Oh. Is it actually Guitar
You're
Hero?
So close.
Is it Guitar
You're
Hero?
So close.
Is it like they are both hidden tracks in Guitar Hero that you can only unlock after you've done Dragon Force or whatever the boss level is?
You have to give me a final one at this
stage. That's it. It's Guitar Hero.
It is Guitar Hero.
Oh shit. But what?
They're
both in Guitar Hero.
In the same Guitar Hero game.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah,
that's I'm trying to think now how if you're yeah, okay, there were not your hints are not that misleading, but
I think
they could have been better.
They're kind of
they
vague,
could have been better.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How many points do I get for this?
So you only changed this at the end.
Yeah, like do I get one point too?
This was a hard, right? So
yeah.
You did technically get it. I mean, I gave you a couple more hints. Let's say
2 out of 3, maybe?
2 out of 3. Yeah, okay, I think cool. That seems fair.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, now Dream fucking Theater.
Now Dream Theater.
Oh. Why would you call your band the Dream Theater?
Well,
I don't know. Let's listen to Home. China. China. That's not the part of the song that I remember, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. That is the very
this
end.
This is the more the kind of Anatolian part of the song.
It's the very end.
Yeah.
So,
I'm just saying I'm not saying that Radiohead is an amazing name. I'm just saying Dream Theater is a very bad name.
Mm. Why, though?
I don't know. I just find it very...
Don't you think that because of the music that they make, rather than thinking that the name is bad first?
No, it just feels... A bit pretentious.
Yeah.
Like, what is a dream theater? What is the theater of dreams is what, like, Old Trafford or something like that.
Well, yeah.
So but what is dream theater? It's like a theater.
Dream theater.
Dream theater with dreams. And yeah. What in your dreams, in the theater of dreams, you have La Brie and...
It's like our music is going to make your dreams come true.
The theater. It's just so theatrical and I don't know, like, Jordan Rudess... No, it's a nightmare.
You know,
I'm sorry.
I don't know if you knew this, but they used to sometimes play some shows, or maybe, I mean, I don't know how regular it was, but they used to play at some point under the name Nightmare Cinema.
Wow, that's a good name. That's a good name.
And they would basically swap instruments
and
just play each other's instruments. I don't know what they played.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
It's more, because it's probably cinema is less. Is less pretentious than theater.
It's quite like
the dream,
pompous.
The dream theater, And yeah, it's epic, but in a bad way. And, you know, if we're thinking of epic and metal, then, yeah, like Dragon Force. Like, it's cringe, but it's good. Mm. It's like it reflects, when you hear Dragon Force, and then you listen to the music, it is.
Yeah, but Dream Dragon. Theater are pretentious. Like they...
Are they?
Are better than everyone else.
They
are
sense.
Better musicians.
Yeah, okay. They are the best.
So
yeah,
that kind of fits.
Sorry, yeah, I'm ranting now about Dream Theater.
Yeah,
because I don't want to find the similarities because it seems very difficult.
So I know you know all of this. So I'm going
home. Yeah,
yeah. So I'm going to give you some context.
Metropolis
Part 2.
19
Scenes from a Memory.
1999. Wow.
So that album is positioned as a sequel to the track Metropolis Part 1.
Yep.
Which is from their second album, Images
very
and Words.
Old.
Apparently, the part one was just added to the title as a joke by Petrucci.
Oh, okay.
So they never intended to make a sequel, but fans were very insistent. It's also the first album to feature your boy, Jordan Rudess.
Oh.
I think.
That's why it's so...
Is that true? Probably.
So good.
So good. So good.
Synthesize it.
It's a concept album. Telling the story of a man going through past life regression therapy, which is basically like a pseudoscience.
Mm.
Do you know what it is? It's like where you recall memories of a past lives and past
when you were Napoleon and
Cleopatra
and stuff.
You work with a hypnotist to kind of bring that out.
Cool.
He discovers that he was a woman called Victoria who was murdered.
And it's a mystery.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And she was involved with a lover called Julian and his brother Edward.
Mm.
And this song is from the perspective of the brother who realizes he's in love with Victoria. And he's like feeling guilty about his...
Lord, now you are...
He's feeling guilty about his brother. But he's like, fuck it, I love her too much. And he goes and sleeps with her. And in the song, you can hear him moaning and all this
stuff. Okay.
So that is the kind of one of the important parts of the story of Scenes from Memory.
Okay.
So yeah, that's kind of the context for the song.
Is any of that useful?
No.
Cool. Yeah.
So, okay, yeah. Like
and
now,
we were
now,
before Painted Black.
Yeah, exactly. Comparison time.
Mm. Yeah.
If you want, we can listen again as well because, yeah, maybe there's some hints in there.
Yes. Now, you mentioned that. Let's listen.
That drum is crazy on the left ear. It's so hard.
China. Okay, this is a very generic similarity, but since you mentioned that.
So I'm also going to say up front,
yeah.
Which is not up front anymore.
Easy,
is
difficult.
This is an easy one.
Easy one. Yeah. Okay, if it isn't, maybe it makes sense.
Yeah.
So because they're both like Eastern themed.
Yeah.
And Painted Black sounds like there's a sitar, which I guess was kind of trendy in the 60s and Beatles and stuff. Yeah. And then the other one, I wouldn't say, the other one sounds a bit more Arabic.
Yeah.
But it also sounds that there's like a very crappy, like, synthesizer sitar playing. Going meow, meow, meow. So I'm just going to go with they both that's, feature sitar.
Are you sure that's not the bass, by the way?
Okay.
No, but can we listen one more time?
Yeah. So it's not the sitar though. Well, maybe it is.
Are you not talking about the...
Maybe it is the bass. What's that on the bass then? Is it just a weird...
It's just a very like mid-heavy bass.
That's it. No like weird like envelope filter or...
Well, right.
It's like new strings.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, you're right. It might be the bass. It sounds just very bright and very jungy.
I'm just saying that part you're talking about is the bass. I'm not saying there's no sitar.
No, it is. You're right. I think the part that I'm talking about, which I'm really sorry. I thought it was, bad synthesizers. It's Rudis's fault. So I was going to say that they are both like Eastern influenced and they use Eastern scales. Ooh, you know what? I'm going to go one step further. Mm. You know, fuck the sitar. They're microtonal. They are like, they don't follow like Western tuning. Okay. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Or they're just out of tune. I don't know. So I'm just going to go for the like kind of Eastern influence.
Cool.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, so the first hint that I have written down, it might not really help you too much, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Mm.
So Aftermath, which is the album that's Painted Black, was much more experimental than previous albums.
Yeah, we said that.
Yep. Maybe it's...
They were experimenting with...
lots of things.
With Eastern scales and microtonal music and sitars. So I'm going to stick with my answer.
Does that sound microtonal to you?
No.
Okay.
But I'm just saying...
Painted Black specifically.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
But at the same time, you could say that maybe it's using notes that are slightly off. So maybe it is, and I don't know.
Okay. Let me remind you, this isn't easy.
Ah, yeah, okay.
So I'll just put that out there again. But yeah, feel free to
Whatever. Eastern... experimental Eastern influences and whatever they're using scales that are not Western.
I think this is gonna make it clearer. So I know we didn't play it, but the bridge of Painted Black features tablas.
Ooh. Okay, I mean, they both feature Indian instruments, traditional Indian instruments. I don't, because that's the thing, that there was nothing, I couldn't hear something Indian. Maybe I need to listen to the Dream Theater song again. I mean, Painted Black sounded, sitar.
It's pretty obvious.
Using tabla drums now, but maybe I wasn't paying attention to the Dream Theater thing, and I was just paying attention to the weird scale, and maybe it's just like, can I listen to it again? China.
Stop listening to fucking China. Maybe you'd hear it.
I can't hear it. I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah. I can't hear it.
Okay, last time, listen to the second half specifically.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Listen to your left ear.
China.
I just realized maybe we have different ears. Maybe it was in your right ear and you just missed it.
This is the left. The cable's left. On the left.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Well, if it's tablas, I did not hear any tablas.
I wouldn't give you the answer.
Yeah.
It's not tablas, but it's tablas
a,
gives you the answer.
It's a sitar.
Hmm.
I don't know. I didn't hear any of that. I was...
Say it.
What, sitar? They both play sitar.
Yes.
Yes, oh, okay.
So it's in the left, like... I mean, previously
so it
in the
was
song?
Correct, but I thought it was the bass in the beginning, yeah?
Yeah, so the thing initial, you talked yeah. about, yeah, mm. so I had to point that out. I didn't want
to...
Mm.
Let me listen to it again. Yes, yes.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's doubling the guitar, yeah? Yeah, okay.
And then it harmonizes with the guitar
yeah.
after.
Yeah. It's that part, it's like the Power Rangers part. Yeah.
That is Rudess on the keyboard.
Of course. Obviously. Of course it is him. Of course. Yeah.
So, I realized they're not both, you know, real sitars, but it's a sitar sound. They have, you know.
Why? You did that just because of Dream Theater, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did it for the clicks.
Yeah, I mean... I think you know, but for those of you who don't know, like, this is so close to Greek dog music.
Mm.
It is it is scary.
We should do a video about dog music.
We should definitely do a video about dog
Explaining,
music.
Explaining the whole culture. And...
I mean, maybe this is a bit more progressive, but at this point where it's so Eastern and it has this kind of instrumentation and metal drums and everything, this is pure dog music. This is...
Mwah! I love Greek dog music. Okay, well, that was it for
so
the
So how many points do I get for this?
Do
I get all of the points? Or do I fail because I changed my mind and started going round to microtonal? And
I guess, you know, we can flip the fact that... Well, how do we do it? We can flip the fact that you...
I changed my mind.
...changed in the middle. So you kind of got it right on two of them, maybe?
Yeah, so I get 2 points.
So I'll give you 2 points for that. Okay. Yeah, I think that seems fair.
Do we know... Do we keep track of my points?
Obviously not.
Obviously not.
So in total, you managed to get 10 points, which is a new record.
It's a new record.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm going to...
Wow.
I'm going to bring my plaque, my record plaque, and I'll give it to you. But I don't have it with me, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many points did you get? I think the maximum for this game should have been 18. I don't know if anyone got 18. Leave us a comment with how many points you got and what you thought was easy or difficult.
And if you have any feedback about this game, this format, you know, it's something we're trying out, so we'd be super grateful if you could leave us some comments about what you think and maybe some things we could change. And hopefully, we'll see you next time on Mixed Signals.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.